Did you know the Edmonton Grads, a women's basketball team founded in 1915 in Canada's fifth largest city, went undefeated in international competition as their country's representative in three tournaments at Olympic Games? Okay, how about something slightly more modern? Did you know Edmonton has produced two of the squad among the favourites to take 3x3 women's basketball gold at Paris 2024? Having hosted a number of 3x3 events, and with the WNBA now taking its annual Canadian preseason game to the capital of Alberta just a few days ago, there is no doubt that Edmonton is a women's basketball town. I'm Tom Bassam, and in this episode of the Sports Pro Podcast, I'm going to be speaking to a couple of key stakeholders in maintaining and expanding Edmonton's reputation as a women's basketball hotbed. Firstly, we hear from Janelle Janis, Executive Director of Business Development and Events with Explore Edmonton, about the city's history with the sport and the role of women's basketball in its future. Then I speak to WNBA Chief Marketing Officer Phil Cook to learn why Edmonton was such an attractive destination for the league. Janelle Janis, welcome to the Sports Pro Podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolute pleasure. We're here to talk about Edmonton, and in particular, Edmonton as a women's basketball destination. Why is it Edmonton's like positioning itself in such a way, and like what's brought you to this point, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, Edmonton has a rich history in the sport of basketball in general, but I think in terms of women's basketball, the foundation in Edmonton was really laid by this team called the Edmonton Grads. They were this kind of famous women's basketball team. They played from 1912 to 1940, and out of the 522 games that they played, they won 502 of them. So 96% winning average. They won gold in the 1924 Olympics in Paris, which was the first time the women's basketball made its debut.
They went over as the whole squad to represent Canada.
Yeah, to go represent Canada. And so a lot of people know of the Edmonton Grads, especially in Canada. I mean, they not only laid a foundation for women's basketball, but they laid a foundation for women's sport in general. And so strong, strong roots of women's basketball in Edmonton. And so that's kind of carried on into today. This year, we hosted the U Sports Women's Championship in basketball. We are hosting a WNBA preseason game in May, which is so exciting, at Rogers Place. I have no doubt that that event will sell out because that's just what Edmonton does. And then in the summer, we're hosting the FIBA 3x3 Women's Series again, along with the FIBA 3x3 World Tour. And, you know, we're doing our best to make sure that the women shine in that event because they truly are the stars of the show when it comes to 3x3 basketball in Canada. We have the Plouffe sisters who are homegrown in Edmonton and just a big fan favorite.
The FIBA 3x3, sorry, I need to get that pronunciation correct. That's an interesting story. I was in your session yesterday and you were talking about it. You guys pushed for that to be not just a men's event, right? You wanted that to make sure you got the women the stage they deserved.
That's right. We were very adamant with FIBA, and they're great partners. You know, I can't say better things about FIBA, but at the end of the day, they were hosting a men's event, and it was really important for Edmonton to ensure that we had a women's component to that event, and not just a component, but an event that was going to be an equal to the men's or potentially better and bigger, which it actually did turn out to be that way. We pushed for the women's team to have the prime time slot in that event overall, just because we knew that that's what the crowd wanted. With the Plouffe sisters there representing Edmonton on, you know, home soil, it was a sold out crowd, and it was just really a special moment to see the women take the stage during that primetime slot when it's typically reserved for the men.
If you could you take me inside that conversation a bit with FIBA? When you go to them and you say, look, listen, guys, we know our local audience, we think this is going to work. Were they resistant to that? Did they push back? Or were they like, you guys know what you're doing?
Obviously, I can't share too many details about how the conversation went exactly. But at the end of the day, FIBA is a great partner, and they trust Edmonton because we're a strong partner of theirs. And we've hosted many, many FIBA events in the past, and they know just how strong our history is in women's basketball. And so I think being able to demonstrate that time and time again really allowed us to have that open conversation in terms of what was going to work the best in our market. and what was going to drive the most ticket sales at the end of the day.
I guess when it comes to hosting events, that's important, isn't it? Being able to know your home market and also be that frank with the people that you're working with.
Yeah, it's a massive advantage for any city who knows how to help an international federation sell tickets. We know what works in Edmonton, and women's sports is one of those things. I don't know what it is, but Edmontonians love women's sports, and we've come out in thousands time and time again to not support it, but just to watch great entertainment.
In part two of this podcast, I'm speaking to Phil Cook from the WNBA. Obviously, you guys are hosting a WNBA preseason. In that conversation, he was quite effusive about the enthusiasm for the game in Edmonton. Take us through the journey of how that came about and what you guys are expecting.
We're just really excited to be able to host the second ever WNBA event in Canada. We know it's going to be absolutely, you know, iconic in our Rogers Place venue. And we work really closely with the Oilers Entertainment Group, who operates that venue, and are always working with them to figure out what next event can we host in that venue, because it is such a great space. It really shows off our city well. In partnership and in conversations with them, the WNBA opportunity came about, and we just, you know, pursued it together and did everything we could to make sure that the WNBA knew how successful that event was going to be, because they have two partners that are walking hand in hand with them, and, you know, we're willing to go above and beyond to make sure that their goals are achieved and our goals are achieved as well.
Do you guys see this as the start of something, perhaps a more permanent WNBA residency in Edmonton?
Oh, I mean, from a personal standpoint, I would love to see any professional women's sports team in Edmonton. We have a lot of men's professional teams and amateur teams that we're fortunate to be able to see on a regular basis. And I think that the history of women's sports in our city, we are ripe to be a market for a professional women's team at some point. So it is my hope. And I mean, if I was a venture capitalist, that's where I would be. That's where I'd be putting my money.
Any venture capitalist listening,
yeah, exactly.
I can pass on their details. You've obviously got WNBA coming up. You've got the women's 3x3 coming up. What else have you guys got coming up in terms of your hosting, and what's the kind of next story you want to tell, I guess?
Yeah, well, right now we're working on revisiting our strategy. One of those pieces is obviously investing more in women's sports and bringing women's sporting events to our city. Obviously, most of those are confidential conversations happening right now, so I can't share anything too exciting, but know that our team is working very hard to ensure that Edmontonians and visitors to Edmonton have many women's events to look forward to watching.
In terms of hosting, I feel like this is something that is coming more and more to Canada. Do you feel like there's a lot of attention shifting north of the border as opposed to previously when it comes to professional sports? So it's almost being seen as a bit of an untapped market.
Obviously, we don't have the same amount of people as the U.S., but I think when you look at a market like Edmonton, we're one of the most northern metropolises in the world. So we do have to kind of make our own fun. We have to make our own entertainment. And so there's this idea of having these major events in our destination that I think that's a big reason why people come out in thousands to be part of it. You know, we're not a major mass dense populated area like New York or Toronto, where, you know, you might put an event there and it might get lost. You know, when you come and host your event in Edmonton, it takes over our city. And I think that's the part that international federations and rights holders, they feel really special when they're in Edmonton, because they are. You're going to be the focal point. You're going to be what everyone's talking about, the buzz around our city. You know, we also have a team that runs our destination activation. And so they make sure that the hotels have, you know, decor about the event. They make sure all of our stakeholders and the restaurants know that that event is happening. You know, they'll have welcome signs at the airport. They'll make sure to activate the downtown core. And so those are the kind of little touches that Edmonton brings to the table. And it's all about going above and beyond for our partners. It's all about going above and beyond for the event, because, you know, we want it to be a success. Our partners want it to be a success. And it's a partnership at the end of the day.
When it comes to that approach, let's kind of go through step by step. A big major rights holder wants to bring an event to Edmonton. How does that go about happening? Talk me through the stages of delivery.
I think what Edmonton also prides itself on is we like to consider ourselves a bit of a one-stop shop. When you come to Edmonton, you know who to talk to. You talk to our team at Explore Edmonton, and we bring in all the other partners that you'll need to make sure that the event is a success, whether that's operationally, logistics, transportation. We work with our City of Edmonton colleagues very, very closely because there's always permitting, there's always different things that you need from a municipality. And so we make sure to bring all of the parties together so that you can have those conversations or the rights holder can have those conversations and they know exactly who to go to. It's not confusing in Edmonton. We try and be the easiest city in Canada to host an event in. That is something that, you know, we continually talk about is that easy for our partners? And if it's not, then we fix it.
Maybe if you could give me like a practical example of that, maybe from either the FIBA events you posted or anything else really where you could say, this is how it works.
Yeah. I mean, I think when it comes to even just selecting a venue, like for FIBA, for example, we work with the local organizing committee, Due North, who is an exceptional local group that has, again, a rich history of hosting major events in our city. And so they are our partners on the FIBA 3x3 event. And so working really closely with them to figure out what's the best location for this event so that, you know, it draws the most excitement. You know, we looked everywhere from West Edmonton Mall to being at the Expo Center grounds and determined that, you know, the right venue is right next door to Rogers Place in the Fan Park in the downtown core. You know, so it's venue selection, it's everything that has to do with, like I said, with the city permitting, making sure that the event is secure. Because it's in the downtown core, obviously you're going to have additional security there. There's just a ton of different things that we do in terms of even marketing and activating. And usually you'll have to go to all these different areas to make sure that, you know, you got your marketing covered or, you know, how do you get in touch with the restaurants and how do you make sure that the hotels are booked? We're the place where all of those answers lie.
We've talked quite a lot about the build-up and planning and pre-event. A big thing I think in hosting these days, you hear a lot about legacy. It seems to be a big part of hosting. Let's speak about women's basketball again. What's the legacy stuff you're looking to put in when you're hosting these events, when you're hosting a women's 3x3, a FIBA event, a WNBA preseason? How do you guys plan for that?
So in conjunction with the FIBA 3x3 World Tour and the Women's Series, we've also attached a mass participation event called Hoop City. The idea of that is to try and make Edmonton the 3x3 home in Canada. And we have a great ambassador, Paul Sir, who is just a local legend when it comes to basketball in Edmonton. And he's a big part of bringing the FIBA 3x3 World Tour to Edmonton and the Women's Series as well. So having this culture of basketball in Edmonton, it's not just about professional basketball. It's also about making sure that kids get involved in it and they have access to it. So being able to have this mass participation event alongside this FIBA 3x3 event, kids are playing on a court that's maybe, you know, 100 meters away from where the professionals are playing. That's a very cool concept and it makes it easy. 3x3 is a pickup game. Like you can play it anywhere. And so I think there's a lot we can do in terms of increased participation. And a big part of it is access. One piece I will touch on that the City of Edmonton did a phenomenal job on is after school, we have community rec centers that kids go to and they play pickup basketball. And what they noticed was that a lot of the girls were just sitting on the side. They weren't actually playing. It was all boys on the courts. And so they reserved courts specifically for the girls to be able to play. And obviously what happened is girls started to play basketball because we removed that barrier for them. And that's, as Explore Edmonton, as a destination, hosting these major events, at the end of the day, you want to make sure that your community is benefiting from them. And so we make sure that we try and do that on every event that we bring to the city.
So hopefully we're looking at 5 to 10 years time, WNBA team in Edmonton, which is mostly filled with local girls who came up from the legacy events of the FIBA 3x3. It sounds like a perfect combination.
I mean, wouldn't that be something? Yeah.
One kind of final area I'd like to touch on before we wrap up is a key pillar, I think, of hosting these days, and that's like the sustainability element. How do you guys ensure that what you're doing and what you're putting on doesn't leave a black mark on the city, isn't causing you problems that are going to be there for 10, 20 years down the line from a human perspective?
Yeah, and that's a great point. And I think that's a big obstacle that a lot of cities and a lot of rights holders are facing right now. Just by their very nature, events are not seen as environmentally friendly. You're bringing a mass amount of people into a destination. And so we have a responsibility to make sure that we're leaving the lowest carbon footprint that we can. So we're very fortunate at Explore Edmonton. We have a sustainability team that is dedicated towards doing just that. You know, we have a responsible events program. We work with the international federations, we work with the rights holders, but we take on that work because we know that when you're trying to run an event, you got a million other things to do. And unfortunately, still sustainability, you know, it falls as a lower priority when something else is on fire. That's just the nature of events. And so again, goes back to trying to be the easiest city to do an event in. We take that work off the local organizing committee, off of the rights holder, and take some of that work on so that people can be proud of the event that we're hosting in Edmonton and know that it is the most sustainable event that they'll probably host.
That seems like a really nice place to leave it, Janelle. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Phil Cook from WNBA, thank you very much for joining us. You are taking preseason games back to Edmonton in Canada again. Why Edmonton? Why Canada? What's the motivating factor for the WNBA in taking games there?
Well, we rely quite heavily on our NBA team up in Toronto. They know their marketplace. They know their fan base and they know their partner base so well. So we rely very heavily on the decisions and recommendations they make. In this case, you know, we had a very successful game in Toronto last year. We had an exhibition game up in Toronto last May, sold out Scotia Arena in downtown Toronto, 19,000 fans bought tickets within a day. We had amazing partners, amazing partner activation. The city embraced, you know, the WNBA coming up for a day of exhibition basketball. That's a great sign. I think it's illustrative of just the anticipation of more basketball, more women's basketball coming into Canada and coming into those markets. So we knew we wanted to anniversary what we did last year. Again, working with the team at NBA Canada and Liam McNabb, who runs the office up there, and she was very bullish on Edmonton. Again, Edmonton is not the first city you would think of as a WNBA destination, but Edmonton is a very rich sports town, right? They've had tremendous success in sport for decades and decades. And there's some connection between Canadian women's basketball and the national program in the city of Edmonton. And there's some connective tissue there. So knowing that it's a great sports town at a great time in sports when, you know, the NHL playoffs are on and the Oilers are playing some hockey, hopefully for the fans of Edmonton, to be a part of that mix and that energy in the city at that time is, you know, very enticing and very attractive.
Is this all kind of part of a long-term play to take a WNBA team up to Canada, do you think, like full-time?
You know, our commissioner, Kathy Engelbert's been very public in saying that expansion into Canada is a definite possibility. The marketplace is very familiar with the game. There are Canadians who play in our league. Access to consuming the game is very easy. They've got some great sports networks up there and great partners who want to invest as well. So we see Canada as a definite possibility in terms of expansion. And again, the more we go up and the more we play up there, the more we learn, the better we can serve the fan and the partners who want to, you know, invest their time and dollars in supporting that team. And this is official step two in that process.
When it comes to kind of deciding where you're going to take games, I mean, taking sort of Edmonton out of the equation, but just generally, what do you look for in a host venue and a host city?
You want to have a successful experience for fans, for partners, and for the players and teams. So you look for these destinations that are going to deliver that. And, you know, very simply, go to where basketball is loved and, you know, start there because the decision starts and ends with the game itself. So we recognize that these are the best athletes in the world playing at the highest level. And so we want to go to a destination where their talents are going to be appreciated. Basketball is becoming this global entity. There is no shortage of destinations. We could take WNBA games in season, preseason, and have success in, you know, Europe and Asia. You know, right now it's Canada. In the future, I can see us expanding beyond North America and heading over to Europe and heading over to Asia one day. And again, someone asked a question earlier today, you know, where do you see the league in 5 years? And I see us being a much more definitive global league than we are today.
Mm. I guess kind of mirroring what's happening with the NBA, right, in terms of bringing in those foreign stars.
Yeah, they've done a great job. The NBA has done a phenomenal job for decades of taking the game to their fans, right? And recognizing there's massive fan bases in Asia and there's massive fan bases in Europe. And the European fan base is earned because of the quality of talent that's coming out of Europe. So there's a definitive connection, you know, to the game itself at the highest level because a lot of that talent is coming out of Europe. So they've done a really good job of, you know, keeping demand high, but still serving that marketplace that is just so, you know, heavily favoring, you know, for the fandom and, you know, wanting the NBA and its stars to come to their homes.
When you're taking a preseason game like this, obviously, like, the main event is the game itself, but what are the other things that you're going to be looking to do around the game in Edmonton?
It's a big opportunity just to invite the fan who may not know much about the WNBA and give them a taste of what the WNBA has to offer, right? It's phenomenal basketball. It is competition. You know, we've got a couple teams playing up there, Seattle and Los Angeles. There's a rivalry between those two teams. We want to showcase, you know, those rivalries and the quality of play. We want to introduce some of our stars to the Canadian marketplace and the marketplace in Edmonton specifically so they can understand who they are as humans and, you know, follow the game that way. It's a big opportunity for the W. It's a big opportunity for Seattle and Los Angeles to get their brand aware. We've got 12 athletes or 14 athletes on each team who might be there because it is preseason. You know, they may not be down to the final cuts yet. So you have athletes who are going to have an opportunity to get their brand out there as well to, again, a very, very active and intelligent sports fan base. And look, fans of sport are fans of sport. And if you put something enticing in front of them, they're, you know, they're going to connect with it. And we're very bullish on the W doing that.
Nice. What does success look like for you guys when you're taking an event like this for preseason anywhere, really?
You can get very simple in terms of what are the metrics you're looking for. You know, what was the live attendance? What was the TV viewership across, you know, the country? What was the TV viewership in the local market? What was the social engagement lift of the athletes? You know, did they get more followers? Did they have, you know, more compelling content that they put out there? So there are definitive metrics that you can measure, but you'll also get some subjectivity. Like, did it feel like there was a rush across the city? Did you feel that the WNBA was in Edmonton? Did you feel that Edmonton as a community embraced the WNBA coming? And again, these are all factors in determining, you know, if and where we would expand in Canada. I think this is all learnings. Are the partners happy with the impressions that they receive on partnering with us in this game? And that's a big part of it. Can we get the support of brands and companies and broadcasters to see the value of the WNBA playing locally? And, you know, these are all measures that will, again, inform us and inform the marketplaces and inform the brands of, you know, determining, you know, whether expansion is the right move and when that move might take place.
I think I might be considered negligent by my boss if I didn't ask the CMO of the WNBA how excited they are about having Caitlin Clark coming into the league this year.
You know, it's awesome. You know, I'll start with that. I think Caitlin illustrates the fact that when great basketball is put in front of fans of sport, they'll consume that. They'll recognize and appreciate that. And she's done that for us. She's put all of women's basketball on the map this year. And again, the audiences that she's attracting and the sheer fandom, we get to experience that just in a few weeks, right? Our draft is, you know, less than 4 weeks away. We're anticipating the first pick overall to be Caitlin, but recognize that there's a host of other, you know, incoming rookies who are phenomenally talented, who are really raising the level of play on the court. And I think that's what we're so excited about, is that this is just another generation of talent elevating the quality of play on the court and knowing that that's what's going to help us attract new fans. And for us to take advantage of that is a great opportunity for a marketer, you know, to celebrate that, to promote those athletes, to promote the overall level of play in our game, and to see the level of competition that's going to go up because of Caitlin coming into the game, and everyone else is going to have to step up their game as well. And, you know, the ripple effect of her play and the play of Cameron Brink and Angel Reese, it's going to be massive of what they're going to bring to the league. And again, continue to push the league to be, you know, far and away the best basketball league in the world.
Strategically, is there anything that you guys are sort of working on already to plan around that draft selection in the build up and immediately post?
Yeah, we're driving a lot of awareness. We know that people are saying, yeah, I want to witness the moment that she gets drafted. So we're making it very easy for fans to kind of to follow that trail and understand where, when we've opened up for the first time in many, many years, we have a live audience at draft. You know, we saw the opportunity a year ago. So we identified a location in Brooklyn to host our draft. And there's going to be 1,000 fans. And we sold tickets, and the tickets sold out in 15 minutes. So you know there's this massive demand to say that you were there when, and that's very encouraging. So again, not everyone gets to go. You know, there's 1,000, you know, fortunate folks who are able to get a ticket. We're hoping there's hundreds of thousands, even 1 million or more people who will watch it on television. And then the real drama begins. What's your impact on the league going to be? And so, you know, we see the network scrambling to make sure that they have Indiana games on their broadcast. We're seeing the other 11 teams not named Indiana figure out ways to package tickets and make sure that fans are aware Indiana's coming into town. You know, here's an opportunity to watch, you know, the greatest spectacle in women's basketball today, you know, play basketball. And there's anecdotes out there just around season tickets and ticket packages and single game packages that are just flying off the shelves at each one of our 11 teams because they also recognize this incredible opportunity. So we're all pulling for Caitlin and for her success and the success of the entire rookie class. And again, we're very confident it's going to lift the entire league. So it's been a fun ride.
Do you see this as a bit of a kind of LeBron moment for the WNBA?
I think it's a LeBron moment for the WNBA. I've actually spun it a little differently. I see it as a Tiger Woods entering the PGA Tour moment. And I'll tell you why. Everyone knew LeBron was coming out right out of high school. He wasn't going to go to college. He was going to jump right into the pros. Caitlin had this level of anticipation where she had people debating, should she stay another year because she has the ability to stay another year, or should she come out now? What's in Caitlin's best interest? Where is she going to make the most money? Like, there was this debate. And Tiger went through the same thing. You know, is he going to turn pro immediately? Is he going to go back to Stanford for another year of college? He's already proven himself to be the best amateur golfer of all time. Is it time for him to move on? And I think it's a very parallel. And then once he turned pro, the entire ecosystem of pro golf went through a renaissance, right? Went through an evolution. And everyone benefited from Tiger, except for the guy who was last on the PGA Tour list who got bumped out because Tiger joined. But it brought so much attention, media attention, fan attention, money into the ecosystem of pro golf. I think Caitlin is having a similar effect to our game.
Nice. I think that's a really nice place to end it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll be right back.